Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm here with the Noon PSS group. So far, we have Jennifer and Teresa. Let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Who wants to go first?
Jennifer, I can. Celebrations, I guess, were, you know, T minus less than 30 days before graduation. And it's just crazy. And my son, yesterday, he had to go to the store in the morning before I dropped him off at school, and he bought something that he just wanted to keep and give to somebody if they needed it. It was Advil, which is like, okay, I know that's not him because he doesn't take Advil, but we talked about it and, you know, how we haven't signed that authorization for him to have medication like that on his person because he's so kind-hearted that he would libel this, oh, you need something here, I've got something, you know, just completely innocent, and then end up getting himself suspended because of it. So we talked, and I was just very happy when he said, you know, Mom, I'll just leave it in the car. I don't need to bring it with me. So I've noticed lately, in the last 6 months or so, he's been making some pretty good, wise choices.
That's awesome. Well, and I think about how far he's come, it reminds me totally about, I don't know, we both had this experience, like in eighth grade, my son with the pocket knife in Boy Scouts, it was like sixth or seventh or eighth grade, and I had a mom earlier this year had the same problem. It's like the kid forgets to take the pocket knife out of the pocket and ends up getting suspended because they went on this cool weekend with her dad with the Boy Scouts. So, Jennifer, I think the other thing I want to ask is think about where you were in September and kind of your fears and worries about senior year and what was he going to do and where was he going to go and was he going to finish? What comes up for you the minute I ask that?
That I think he has come a long way, and where it always used to be the Marines, he really fought long and hard, and it's like, well, you know what? I can't get a good enough score on the ASVAB to do what I want to do in the Marines. So I think I want to do secondary education and help kids like me.
Wow, that's cool.
So I said, well, you know, to help kids like you, you should start like elementary. And he's like, oh, I'm not teaching elementary kids. And I said, well, you know what? You can still really affect kids like you in high school. You know, think about who've been in your corner the past 4 years. And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, and there's a lot of opportunity to change his mind between now and the time he graduates. So he's got at least 4 more years, right?
Exactly. And cool. The school that he wants to go to doesn't right now have a secondary education, but they're promising it in the next 2 years, which will work fine for him. But, yeah, it'll give him, you know, if something happens and it gets delayed, you know, he can change it. But, yeah, I just thought that was a really grown-up thing for him to decide.
Yeah, love that. Well, it must be Atlanta Day on PSS. So hi, Maria.
Hi.
So Jennifer and Teresa are on as well. So we're all Atlanta people today. We were talking about the weather this weekend and how cold it was. We're just doing check-ins and celebrations. Teresa, you want to go ahead?
Yeah. Amid some disappointment, success is, you know, it's been a pretty busy time. We've had you know, Easter, prom, ACT, et cetera. And, but I've been really trying to focus on the positive, what's working, trying to really, really have those little antenna up to catch the right things and to, you know, in a natural, authentic way to complement and reinforce those things. And so, for example, the day after the prom, as we're driving to church, you know, I'm telling her, you know, Jackie, thanks so much for, you know, after you got home last night, staying up and sharing, you know, your experience with me. I was so excited to be able to hear about the prom, because a lot of times she never, you know, she wants to just go talk to her friends on her phone or something, you know. So just getting that connection time with her, I told her how much that meant to me. And then she had kind of gone out on a limb with her friends. There was a friend who organized an after party and only invited, you know, certain kids and, you know, left some people out that like, you know, we're hard to leave out, really. And Jackie went to bat and said, you know, why can't we include them? And you know, I told her that was very compassionate of her, and it took courage to, you know, speak up. And so everybody ended up getting invited. So, and then just continuing to try to work on my own triggers and my own peace, poise, and power, because I did find out some other things that didn't go so well. So anyway, but those were the successes.
Awesome. I love that. Peace, poise, and power. that somebody else coined that. I think I've read that somewhere. I love it for you.
Yeah, yes. That's not mine. I have it. I have a little triangle hanging in my office, and at each point of the triangle, there's peace, poise, and power.
Love that. Perfect. Okay. Maria, what about you?
Oh, we're doing successes for the week.
Yes.
Just spending some quality time together, and little bits here and there. It wasn't as much, didn't quite go as, you know, how I had envisioned it in my mind, but, you know, being an ADDer, you always think you can get in way more than you actually can in real time. So, and, you know, just having bits and pieces of her, you know, like kind of confiding in me more about things, you know, going on just with friends at school, and not even anything really big, but she just telling me more little things. Usually she says, oh, you know, nobody tells their parents these things. I said, I want to be the mom that you can always come to and tell me what it is. And, you know, then you say that, and then you brace yourself like, oh, my gosh, you know, what are you going to tell me? Am I going to
react?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, how will I be triggered in a way that won't be, you know, very fitting? So, and I'm trying to think, it just escaped my head, one of the things that that happened. She's been really good at her grade, and some things have been going down, and I keep building her up. I'm like, you know, it's fine. You know, I expect some ups and downs. I just say, you know, how do you want your, you know, your year, seventh grade year to end? And just to keep her positive and motivated, but without feeling like a huge pressure is on her, you know. Like, she knows her job is to do well in school, but within, you know, I've been the one saying, well, we're battling these late nights and everything constantly. And it's just, I think, her being a little time blind of how long things take, and then just kind of getting off, you know, the beaten track.
Mm-hmm. So,
another thing that she said that was really important to me that, you know, I always try to build her up and be positive. And, you know, there have been times in the past when I have gotten critical and it's just come out and it hasn't been good. And but I always, you know, try to rectify it. But she has a problem with her own self-image. And she says, I'm really working hard on liking myself more. And I said, oh, my gosh, I hope that you are, because you're a really great kid. And, you know, just gave her, told her all the ways that, you know, she's great in. So, and being very authentic, you know, about that. So we have little heart-to-hearts all the time.
Love that.
And,
love that. That's awesome. The thing that's kind of coming up for me, Maria, on that is modeling, right? And so as a woman and, you know, an adult woman, it's like a lot of times we have bad habits with regard to, you know, our own self-esteem and our own body image or whatever it is. And it's that sort of paying attention to the language you use, period, especially in front of your daughter about yourself or your mistakes. And we're going to talk about failing forward today. And so I think that'll be a great conversation about how do you handle it when you make mistakes and how does that help her to kind of continue to build that self-esteem. So congratulations.
Thank you. One thing that most maybe some else doesn't have is that I have my mother lives with us. And she's just, you know, her self-talk through the years, I'm like, please, let's not talk like that because, you know, she can hear that and she'll go, oh, she's not listening, you know, when she was really young. And I'm like, yeah, you'd be surprised on what she picks up. And it's rubbed off. And so I've really, you know, tried to, it's been a struggle, you know, because you're trying to be respectful to your parent, but you're also trying to keep your child, you know, moving in the right direction and building them up. And not only for myself, because I know I've had those moments, but, you know, dealing with somebody else's, what's coming out of their mouth and how that impacts them. So, yeah, definitely modeling, trying to keep that there. Thank you.
Great. Well, and Teresa, I want to ask you, because you were talking about working on your triggers. The last time you were working on your relationship and about being more proactive instead of reactive. So how did it go specifically with that?
I thought, okay, and then as I'm reflecting back, I can see more opportunities for improvement there too. But for example, when she was going to the prom, you know, there was, you know, an after party, and just recently she had deceived us. I mean, she had asked permission to stay after her lacrosse practice and watch the girls' soccer team. And, you know, long story short, I had this big, strong intuition that maybe that wasn't the real reason she wanted to stay. And so a friend was supposed to drive her home, but I decided since I was ready anyway, I would go grab her. And I discovered her in this, you know, yeah, well, there, she was in this friend of hers' car, this young man, who is, it's a long story, but he quote-unquote dating in ninth grade. She's an 11th, and he is a terrorist he's a predator. Let's just call him a predator. And they had broken up at the end of ninth grade, and then he broke up with his other girlfriend recently. And so I discovered that she was in his car. So there was that deception. So as she was heading to prom, you know, I had this proactive, you know, conversation about, what we expected and what the expectations were. And and one of them was, you know, and I was worried that he was going to be there. Of course he was, but, you know, that there might be drinking there. A lot of people get prom after parties as a rite of passage, and, you know, you know, that puts the family at risk, that's hosting the party, that puts you at risk, blah, 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 our expectations. We've never had any issues or knowledge that she would drink or anything, but I know that there has been drinking at parties that she's ended up before. And so we said, listen, if there's alcohol there, you know, no questions asked, just give us a call. You know, the young man who you're going with could either arrange to get you home or we could come pick you up or whatever. And, but anyway, so I was thinking, okay, we set up this great, and then, by the way, we did not let her go at the after party. They were supposed to spend the night. And we said, listen, you know, you broke our trust just recently. We're in this stage of regaining our trust. So we're going to let you go to the after party. It is a great opportunity for you to, you know, exceed our expectations, for you to shine. But we're not going to spend the night, you know. And I had already had advanced knowledge in the parent network that, yeah, don't the overnight part, that's when the real party starts. Go ahead.
So sounds great. So I guess the question is, so with all that and the fact that you've been working on this and you've been kind of, you know, keeping up with it, but it sounds like there's still some opportunity, where do you want to take aim today, Teresa?
Well, you know, I'm just such a slow learner. I guess it's my ADD. And I think now, as I'm reflecting on that conversation, because by the way, she did go, there was alcohol, she didn't call us, and she even drank. I'm realizing that when I set the expectations, I didn't really get her buy-in, you know, like, because afterwards, when we're talking about it, it's like, well, you can't ever go to a party if you can't be there when there's alcohol. So now that's a whole other dilemma, you know. But I just kind of set the expectations without kind of asking, well, what do you think about that? And, you know, getting that buy-in. So now I'm going back two lessons ago here. So anyway, we're still dealing with the fact. I don't think we've completely resolved how to handle this in terms of even after being positive, proactive, setting the expectations, et cetera. That you know, I'm realizing that, like, you know, I'm kind of baffled. I mean, if you don't get buy-in on core principles that you think are important for her safety, like, how do you move forward? So right. I don't know. What do I need to take aim at?
So it sounds like you want to take aim on getting buy-in, and I'm going to challenge you to pick one particular area where you feel like either it's really getting in the way that she doesn't have buy-in, or maybe even better that she might have some motivation to get some buy-in, right? So a lot of times we pick the thing that we want them to have. One, I remember really distinctly some moms who wanted to get their child's buy-in for picking up the towels and cleaning their room. And the kid had just no interest in it. And so they felt like they were banging their head against the wall. So I'm going to challenge you to find something that you think either she's so tired of you nagging her, or she really would like to be more independent, as a place to take aim on getting her buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
So what comes up for you as I say that?
Well, she definitely wants to be independent. I think that's really important for her because, you know, compared to her...
Well, so hang on a second, Teresa. So hang on a second. So being independent is a big, giant thing. We're talking about one specific area where you can work on, because going from dependent to independent is lots and lots and lots of steps, right? So pick
yes.
one area where you think she'd like to be more independent.
Well, the one area where she wants to be more independent is hanging out with her friends, and, you know, but that's hard when I have this fear of this kid who's a disaster. And the fact that, I mean, there has to be, I'm trying to figure out, because there has to be
you know, I've read and learned from, you know, everything that ADD kids are not as motivated. Well, they're not. Punishments
so
don't
Teresa,
work well for them.
Teresa.
Yeah.
Teresa, so, yeah, I'm going to challenge you to bottom line because I want to watch our time here.
Yeah.
We want to try to figure out one specific area where you want to try to take aim. It doesn't have to be the right thing, but pick one for the conversation today, and then we can have this conversation as we're talking about failing forward.
Okay. Well, let's just focus on the buy-in. Yeah,
buy-in for what? Again, that's the buy-in is a big giant thing. Is it buy-in to go to the grocery store this afternoon? Is it buy-in for cleaning her room? Is it buy-in for what are you trying to get buy-in for?
Well, I don't know. Maybe go and talk to get. I'm my brain is kind of scrambled.
Let me leave you with a challenge. So what you're trying to identify is a challenge area where you want to try to get her buy-in to work with you to help her to become more independent. Does that make sense? So it's like, let's say that you wanted to work on, she wants to work on becoming more independent with hanging out with her friends. And so maybe what you could take aim on is getting buy-in from her to partner with you to come up with a solution that is a win-win. Because you're really worried about this kid that's kind of over the deep end. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me go to Jennifer and Maria, and then I'll loop back to you. How's that?
Sure.
Jennifer, where are you taking aim?
I think on myself of not stressing so much in the next month, less than a month, and making sure everything gets done for the school year.
So is that about pacing yourself, Jennifer? Is that about prioritizing and letting go of things? What do you think it's going to be?
I think prioritizing and letting go of things and letting my son figure out more what he should be doing and be okay with whatever he's choosing.
Okay.
Not sure if that makes
it does. And I think the question is how clear are you on what your vision is for the change you want to see?
I think just I don't want it to have him so stressed and thinking that I'm not thinking he's done a good job in school or anything. I don't know.
Okay, so hang on a second. So what if you take aim on making May as low stress as possible for him and as feel good for him as possible? Does that feel like the right place? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Maria.
Yes, I'm trying to decide what I want to take aim on. I need my daughter's buy-in on several things, and I'm just trying to decide, you know, which one to tackle, because I'm trying to get her and keep her organized, and I'm trying to, you know, help myself, and I've got a lot of strategies that are in place for me, in some areas that are working very well, but not great in others. So I'm trying to get her to keep the organization that I provide for her. You know, just like clean room, clean bathroom.
Hang on a second. So, Maria, whose agenda is it at this stage? Your agenda?
Oh, well, it's mine, but she can see the value in it. You know, because we talk about it, and, like, she doesn't like it when there's a lot of things around the house, you know, but in her room, it's like she's just blind to a lot of it, and she is, but she isn't, you know, like it just, there's a lot that just doesn't matter to her. So I'm trying to say, well, isn't it easier to, you know, get ready when you can see everything in your drawer and it's not all jumbled up, and when you can see all of your clothes are up there? And it is for her, but, you know, when she's getting ready, she might try on 6 things, and then they all wind up in the bottom of her closet.
Right. So hang on a second, Maria. So it sounds like, because I hear your willingness to get buy-in and to collaborate, right? And so part of our challenge with these kids is figuring out what is a realistic expectation for them keeping their own environment without us coming in and saying, will you do this? Will you do that? And you're trying to get to, the language you're using is trying to get it to intrinsic motivation, where she just wants to have the place clean. And a lot of times as our kids are developing, they're not there yet. And so they need external motivators, or they need help creating motivators for themselves, those sorts of things. But what's coming up for me as you're talking is what you're really trying to do is get her buy-in for working on helping her become more independent and keeping her environment clean.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
She wants independence. Okay. It was totally fair, because she wants independence. She wants, you know, more independence in, you know, most aspects of her life. And, you know, sometimes I'll come in her room and I'll be putting her clothes away, and she says, well, Mom, that's distracting. Can you leave the room? And I said, well, this is stuff that has to get done, and this is like the only time period that I have to do it. I won't talk to you. I won't, you know, say or do anything. I'll be very, you know, quiet. So I am trying to work it up.
Yeah, you're trying to give her space. So, and so what I want to be really specific on this. It's about the collaboration. It's not about the end point. So we always talk about focus on the process, not the outcome. And that might be hard for you to let go of. But what you're really trying to do is to get her buy-in to work with you to try a variety of different things to see what works ultimately for her. Because the reality is that this idea of, like, trying on outfits and putting them away, and isn't it easier when they're all away to find them? It honestly, it may not be. And she's got to figure out what works for her. And I think about my 18-year-old. She likes her clothes all spread all over her bed so that she can find it, because it's too hard for her to find it in the closet, because it's just visually she can't see it all. So you're trying to help her find out what works for her and what feels okay for you from a cleanliness, safetiness, that sort of thing. But it's about the process, not the outcome. Does that resonate?
It does, because, you know, she knows I will let it go and just let her do her thing. And then it gets to a certain point and it just boggles my brain. You know, like like to see things in order, and then I start hanging things up, or I'll say, please take 10 minutes and do this task, and just continue to hang them up. And, you know, it's totally boring for her. I get it. She's not there yet. But then when she's rushing to get somewhere, you know, she needs to be able to find stuff. And there's been times when she hasn't been able to find something. And I said, well, I hung everything up color-coded, you know, from white to black. Yeah. So it's got to be in there somewhere. Look in the bottom of your closet in that one area where you keep everything. And I pulled stuff out. I'm like, oh, well, here it is, you know, because she'll go, oh, I looked. Well, did you dig deep enough, you know? And don't
say
it's wrong that it's not like this enormous pile, but it's enough to where, you know, she's just not making the effort. It might be 2 or 3 things there.
Well, and I think that that's the piece of it is, again, so we're talking about making it her agenda instead of yours, and making it her solution instead of something that you come up with necessarily for her. So, and the focus is on collaboration, not on endpoint. So we're going to talk today about failing forward. We're on page, what page is that? 50 in the workbook. And a couple of things here. You know, this is one of those areas that I remember when I first started doing this work with Elaine. This idea of failing forward was something that was like hot on her ticket. And for me, I had this sort of, oh no, failure is not an option sort of mindset that I'd kind of grown up with. And so I think the first thing I want to say about failure is that a lot of what failing forward is, a lot of what this is all about is our relationship with failure, whether it's our judgment of ourselves when things don't go the way we want them to, our judgment of our kids when our kids don't do what we want or expect of them. Those sorts of things can be an important piece of how it plays in for our kids. A lot of our kids have had an enormous amount of opportunity to screw up. And so they get to this point in their life. We've got older kids, most of us in this group, and they're tired of being wrong. And so they've developed coping mechanisms. They've got defensive dishonesty going on. They've got a lot of things that they do to kind of cope with the fact that they feel like failures. And so we can model for them kind of what it means to make mistakes, and focus on that. One of the tools we always teach about failing forward is the three questions: what worked, what different, what didn't work, and what do you want to try differently? And, you know, getting them to focus on some things that did work and celebrations rather than just on what didn't go the way they had hoped it would can be a really helpful tool. And I think that the other piece of that is that the idea that there's not a right way to do anything, right? And so we want to keep our kids and we want to stay ourselves in a place of curiosity and a place of exploration. So it becomes, well, what do you want to try next time? Or instead of, well, that didn't work, what are you going to do about it? You know, it's this sort of idea of the fact that for them, they're exploring, they're trying to figure out what works. And for most of these kids, even if something works one time, it doesn't mean that it's sustainable. And their ability to kind of repeat the same behavior pattern, successful behavior pattern over and over is more limited. So keeping them in a place where it's like, okay, so that didn't work. You overslept. What do you want to try tomorrow? As opposed to going in with judgment and let's do it my way. Because a lot of times we go into that reactive mode when failure happens. It's like, oh, they can't do it on their own. So I'm going to jump back down to, you know, level one of parenting where I'm telling them what to do and making sure that everything's getting done. So that's a few thoughts about failing forward. The idea is that when things don't go well, you get to learn from them. What comes up for you guys?
Well, that reactive mode I feel like I've lived that loop a lot, you know. I mean, even just like in the past, trying to help her with math problems, and if I don't do it the way her teacher does it, I would get reactive and frustrated, like at least be open to my way, you know. I mean, I'm older than you, I'm wiser than you, I've been around the block. It's easy for me to see how, and I often would attribute it just to a pride issue. Like you don't want to try my way because it's my way. And so I would like model the exact wrong thing in terms of the whole pride issue.
Well, so I got to ask, do you remember what it was like when you were 15 and your parents gave you an idea of what to do?
I guess I need to put myself back in that place. I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's one of the challenges for me, you know, compared to like whatever it is, whether it's all these risk behaviors kids do or like working hard in school. I was independent. Even though I have ADD, it's hard for me to relate to some of what's going on. And I often get mad at my husband because he did all this stuff and more, and he doesn't seem to be able to be empathic. But yeah, I have to think about that.
No, but I'm talking specifically about when our parents you know, we have a problem or a situation or a challenge, and our parents yeah. would come in and say, this is what I think you should do. I mean, most kids from age, like, often younger than 13, but 13 to 18, it's like, you know, I want to know what's best for my life. Even if I don't, I certainly don't want to admit that my parents know better. I mean, it took me, so I was probably in my late 20s or early 30s before I went, oh, my parents were kind of right about that, weren't they? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's part of what to know is that there's this normal dynamic in teenagers that they want to separate and they want to become independent. And with our kids, mm-hmm. because they're developmentally, their executive function is delayed, their ability to be independent is in conflict with their desire to be independent. And that's what we're really bumping against.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts about failing forward?
Well, I mean, I can say with my own life, you know, having ADD, I've had many failures and have not recovered too well from some and, you know, done so well. And then others have, you know, kind of learned over time to not be so harsh on myself for certain, you know, some things and, you know, what works, what doesn't, and move forward. You know, with my child, I can say, you know, I've made more mistakes than I care to, you know, to say, and how I, before I knew about the whole, you know, how to handle everything and just wrap my head around it, I'm trying to not be reactive like I was in the past. And I think I've made, you know, some good improvements. So it's taken me time, you know, and for myself and for her. And now I'm just not being as reactive, you know, with her about certain things and being a lot more understanding for sure.
Yeah. So what do you think you need to do to kind of create that more open and understanding environment?
Well, I think I'm already doing it. I mean, just working, you know, with, you know, doing the Sanity School and the Parent Success and just, you know, kind of immersing myself in, you know, in the whole ADHD, you know, just everything that happens and just recognizing that it's, you know, this is, you know, our ADD or ADHD, it's not that you're trying to be, that you're trying to be this way. And she got real upset with me a while back and she, you know, just was just off the charts. And she got really mad at me and she reacted. And I didn't react when she reacted back to me. And my husband was like, well, you should punish her and you should do this. And I said, no. I said, that's exactly what I'm not going to do. And, you know, I said, I'm going to let her be calm and calm down and think about what happened. And then we're going to talk about it. And I did. And she was very apologetic. We talked about it and we made amends and she appreciated that I didn't react to her, you know, meltdown, failure and everything. So just, you know, more of the understanding and learning not to be reactive for me, I think is, you know, definitely a step in the right direction.
So how could you apply this concept of failing forward to your reactivity?
I'm thinking about things, but I can't get it out of my head. my mouth.
Well, so here's what's coming up for me, if I can, and is that when we're reactive, if we go to a place of judgment and go, oh, man, I can't believe it, I totally blew it, I yelled at my kids, blah, 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 and then we kind of go, okay, I'm not going to do that again, right? And we resolve that we're not going to do it again. And then, you know, and then 2 days later, something else happens and our kid triggers us and we're back in the same place. And I'm saying this with complete authenticity because I've been there, right? But if we say, okay, I totally reacted, and now I'm calm, what happened? Go through the four trigger steps. What was my thought underneath it? What was the thought that caused the trigger? Okay, how do I, when this happens again, because our kids trigger us all the time, what's the thought I want to remember? You know, even though my kid is acting impulsively, I want to remember that she's not doing this on purpose so that I can stay calm and problem solve. Or even though my kid is acting irrationally, I want to stay in a place of trust because I don't want my catastrophizing to throw me into a trigger. You know, so that's kind of that sort of how do I begin to pay attention to my past reactivity so that I can change my behavior moving forward. So what comes up for you in that?
I mean, everything you said was perfect, really. Not catastrophizing, not overreacting, I'm sorry, I'm not able to just get it out of my head right now. I had an appointment that I had popped up and it just
distracted
me. Yeah.
Understood. Jennifer, what comes up for you on this topic? Oops, do you have us on mute? Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I had put you on hold for a second. I'm back.
So the question is, what kind of comes up for you on this area of failing forward, particularly as you're wanting to, you know, enjoy May and make sure that he's feeling good and independent about what's going on in the month of May?
I think just because I hate to say that, but if he does make a mistake at this point, you know, just letting him know that it's okay to not let my anger be so great that he thinks that he's not loved or that he's stupid, you know, that it's okay that, you know, whatever, he failed a final or, you know, whatever, just. And that's hard because he thinks everything, if he does something wrong, he's stupid.
So hang on a second. So I guess the question is, does your goal become helping him to feel like making mistakes is okay? Or is it about helping him to feel like he's not stupid? Or is it about just staying in a place of non-reactivity?
I think staying in non-reactivity.
So how do you keep that front of mind?
Like other topics that we've talked about, that, you know, you got to stop and think and breathe before you react.
Mm-hmm. What do you do to remember that?
It's hard. It just has to, I guess, be in the forefront of my mind all the time.
Well, and I don't know if I've shared this with you, Jennifer, before, but one of the things I teach my private clients is that if you sometimes need to do something, doing it all the time can be helpful. So, for example, if you want to, in this instance, you want to kind of take a deep breath and pause before you respond when your kid gives you bad news, you actually start pausing and responding every time they ask you for something.
Right.
And so it's like, hey, Mom, what's for dinner? And you go, you take a deep breath, and you go, oh, we're having spaghetti. So that you're used to that sort of, whenever I have interaction with my child, I want to take a breath before I interact. So that's okay. One tool that comes up for me. The other is kind of just even having, and I'm doing this right now with something for my coach, a visual reminder, like a piece of jewelry. Like, so I've got, a bracelet that I'm wearing that's helping me to focus on taking inspired action. And so you could have something that every time you see a tree or every time you see your wedding ring or every time you see whatever, I'm making it up, but it's that sort of, it reminds you, respond instead of react, or stay calm,
right,
and it's all going to be okay, or whatever kind of the language is. So what do you think you want to try, Jennifer?
I mean, since I always have it, my wedding ring, just be more conscious of what I'm doing with my hands, I guess. And if he tells me something that isn't what I want to hear, stop and twist my ring and think first.
Love that. Cool. So let's, any other thoughts on failing forward before we move to our final questions? So we're on page 51, I think, and there's the four questions that we ask at the end of every call. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What was my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So I'd love to hear from all three of you at least one aha and one commitment to action. Whenever you're ready.
I think I lost you for a minute because I couldn't hear anything. So.
Oh. So we're answering the four questions that we answer at the end of each call, and I would love to hear at least one aha and one action step from each one of you.
It's me. I think aha, or what hit me again is that it's okay for him to make a mistake. We're human. He's human. It's okay. And then action step, just really, focus or be all, in the forefront of my mind, like twisting my ring or something before I respond, that it's okay. That things are going to happen.
Cool. And I heard you say earlier your commitment is to, with your wedding ring, and to look and have that be a visual for you as a way to set yourself up for success. How does that feel?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Teresa, what about you?
Well, I would say the aha has to do with staying curious, really focusing on non-judgmental. That would be a great area to kind of dissect and pursue, but to stay curious, okay, that didn't work. What will we try next time? And then, just that reminder of, because I do, I'm sure, have a tendency to way quicker than I should get to, oh, well, you don't have any ideas? Here, let me tell you. In fact, I think I do it so much that she doesn't even want to waste the time or energy thinking, well, what do you think? And I'm like, no, what do you think? So that's one of the challenges I really have. It's so much better to, kind of probe and question and not like swoop in and decide. But what happens when they just like they won't respond? So anyway,
There's a whole bunch of articles on kind of what to do when your kids say, I got it, or whatever. I mean, it's giving them control and holding them accountable, right? So I get that you don't know, and let's talk about it later after dinner. It's that sort of, you can do this, you can figure this out, and, saying I don't know isn't enough, it's just kind of that balance between, again, giving them control and holding them accountable. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate?
Yeah. Yes, it does. In fact, when I was preparing for the day, I saved those. I looked at a lot of those articles and saved them to reread.
Cool. So what's your firm commitment in terms of what you're going to try?
Well, I'm going to, I guess, in a way it relates to the same thing, so that I do remain curious and let her do her own problem solving and collaborate better with her. It's really focusing on me again. It seems to always come back to that reactivity. I like the idea. Actually, that was really another aha. If you need to do something sometimes, then maybe you need to do things all the time. And so I think I really need to pick that one thing, whether it's the piece of jewelry or just taking the deep breaths, or I like something really concrete, like twisting the ring. That's a great idea. Maybe it has to go around five times before I say anything. But it really does come back to, in order for me to be curious and ask them to find another solution, if that didn't work, it's really to control my own reactions.
Yeah. Okay. So, did I get everybody? No, I didn't. Who's last? Maria, did you last?
Slowing my response time down, because I tend to kind of have knee-jerk reactions, I've noticed at times. I just want to, either get in there and fix it or respond or whatever. And I really need to slow myself down, take that deep breath. I might use your twisting your wedding ring, or another piece of jewelry, that I have on to kind of help guide me in that process for a reminder, because I definitely feel like I can. My brain's going, 1,000 miles a minute, and I tend to, kind of respond that way sometimes. So taking a step back and, waiting and responding versus reacting. And while I have kind of been trying to work on that, I know that I need to take aim on that, more for sure.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Great call today, everybody. Hope you feel clear about what your action steps are. From a calendar perspective, next week is an office hour call. It's at this time on Tuesday, noon on Tuesday. And then we're back with PFS the week of May 6th. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And we'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you, Diane.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask you a question on recording?
Yeah, hang on a second. Let me turn off the recording.